بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن قيس بن بشر التغلبي قال أخبرني أبي وكان جليسا لأبي الدرداء قال كان بدمشق رجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقال له سهل بن حنظلية، وكان رجلا متوحدا، فلما قلما يجالس الناس إنما هو صلاة، فإذا فرغ فإنما هو تسبيح وتكبير حتى يأتي أهله. This is a slightly lengthy riwayat. The narrator is Qais bin Bishr Taghlabi, who was a tabi'i, that is the generation after the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. He says that my father, who used to be one of the companions, in other words, regularly you would find him in the majlis or in the company of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, I heard from my father that there was a person from amongst the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who used to live in Damascus. His name was Sahal bin Hanzaliya. Sahal bin Hanzaliya was the son of Rabi'. The mother or great grandmother's name was Hanzaliya. He was from the Aus tribe. Aus and Khazraj were the two famous tribes amongst the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara. He took part in what we call Bay'atul Ridwan. Bay'atul Ridwan is the more commonly known to us, the truce of Hudaybiyah. 1500 plus minus Sahaba took part in that bay'at, and Allah Ta'ala granted them the accolade and the honor, where Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايَعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ, that those believers who took an oath of allegiance on your hands underneath the tree. This refers to, as we said, Bay'atul Ridwan or the truce of Hudaybiyah. Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ. Definitely, without a doubt, Allah is happy with them. So this was a special accolade, an honor that was, or distinguishing characteristic that was granted to those 1500 plus minus Sahaba. So when any of the, particularly in the science of hadith narration, if the sahabi belonged to that group, it is always highlighted. So this particular sahabi, Sahal bin Hanzaliya, was amongst them. He was indeed an ascetic. He always remained in ibadat, and he resided in Damascus. He passed away during the period of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the early part of his khilafat. Interestingly, the sahabi had no children. In other words, there were no heirs or offspring after him. It's mentioned about him. From this we learn one important lesson. Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greatly desired to have children. In fact, he said towards the latter part of his life that I would have been prepared to part with all my wealth if Allah Ta'ala had granted me children. So the point what I mentioned, the lesson we learn, is that how much of dua he must have made. How many times he must have pleaded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him children, yet Allah's hikmat, Allah knows best. So important lesson we learn is that if ostensibly our dua in the world is not granted, it doesn't mean give up asking. We must carry on asking from Allah Ta'ala. We must have this conviction that if Allah Ta'ala didn't grant us in the world, then when we see in the akhirat what Allah has given us in exchange for those so-called du'as that were not answered in the dunya, we learn in hadith, the person will wish that nothing was given in the world. Everything was kept for the akhirat. Nevertheless, this is just a brief background of Sahal bin Hanzaliya radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The narrator of the hadith, the father of Qais bin Bishr al-Taghlibi, he goes on to give us a further description of Sahal bin Hanzaliya radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, كان رجلا متوحدا. He was a person who greatly preferred solitude, being alone, not unnecessarily mixing with others. He would prefer his own company. Obviously, there's a lot of hifazat and protection in this, from making ghibat, unnecessary joking, laughing, etc., which is something that actually destroys our good deeds. I'm digressing because the month of Ramadan just passed. Many brothers were in i'tikaf, many brothers were sitting in the masjid. It was also observed, sadly, that there were many of us that whilst in such a beautiful and a pure environment, instead of protecting ourselves, we engaged in a lot of unnecessary chit-chat, laughing, joking. You find in many of our masajid nowadays, during i'tikaf, the dastarkhan is laid out. And more often than not, that becomes the means or the impetus for us to get involved in what we should not be getting involved. To give us an idea of how important it is to protect yourself, it's mentioned about Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullah alayhi, Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimullah, in his kitab, he mentions in the introduction that Imam Abu Dawood was a muhaddis of note. His Sunan Abi Dawood is taught in all our madrasas. It's a collection, a compilation of plus minus 4,800 ahadith. Himself, he mentions, he says, that to collect the 4,800 hadith in Abu Dawood Sharif, I perused 500,000 ahadith. 500,000 hadith. Says I perused 500,000 hadith, and from there I selected this 4,800 that were in the Abu Dawood Sharif. Then he says that there are four hadith, that if you practice on them, it's almost as if you practiced on the 4,800 ahadith. So by extension, as if you practiced on 500,000 hadith, if you practice on four. From these four pertinent to what we're discussing, one hadith, min husni islamil mar'i, tarkuhu ma la yani. One is being Muslim, one is being mu'min, one is being a believer. Then there is what we call husn, beauty to your faith, perfection to your faith, attractiveness to your faith. For that Rasulullah said there is one integral component. If this is not there, you will never become a beautiful Muslim. Your Islam will never develop, it will never evolve, it will never reach perfection. You'll be stuck at one point unless this integral component is found. What is that integral component? Kan kol kar sun lena, listen attentively, my respected brothers. What is that integral component? Tarkuhu ma la yani. You have to learn to give up that which is useless. Either useless actions or useless speech. Useless actions, useless speech, abstain from that. Your Islam will become beautiful. Your deen will progress. Your deen will develop. If you are prone to useless talk, useless, and some of us, unfortunately, we look forward to that. Look forward to that chit-chat. Look forward to that unnecessary talking, joking, laughing. Today with these social media platforms, it's become a curse. You find dindar people also, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, person is busy on these platforms. So this is something that is extremely destructive. Extremely destructive to whatever good we have achieved. MashaAllah, Ramadan, you read Quran, you made tilawat, you engaged in dua, you spoke to Allah Ta'ala, you were in solitude. Don't wipe all that away. Prefer your own company to the company of others, particularly if it means involving yourself in guna, in unnecessary ghibat, chit-chat, etc. Because as we mentioned, this is halika, this is something that destroys your good deeds. So nevertheless, we digress, because this is the credentials of the Sahabi that is mentioned. Kana rajulan mutawahida. He was a person who preferred solitude, he preferred his own company. Qallama yujalisu an-nas. Very rarely you would find him sitting with other people. In other words, engaging in unnecessary conversation. Innama huwa salah. What did you find him doing? You would always find him in salah. Always find him engaged in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Fa'idha faragha, when he completed his salah, then innama huwa tasbihun wa takbirun. He would be in tasbih, in takbir. Tasbih is what? Tanzih, declaring Allah's taqdis, declaring Allah's purity from every form of defect or shortcoming. Takbir, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's kibriyai, Allah's jalal, Allah's azmat. Hatta ya'tiya ahla, until he came to his family. In other words, he wouldn't engage with his friends like today, even the dindar tabka. Unnecessary sport activities, unnecessary getting together, spending less time with their families, rather preferring the company of their friends and socializing. These are things that go against the grain of what we call protecting your amal, protecting your piety, protecting your good deeds. And we can see that this quality of avoiding unnecessary social gatherings, staying at home or in the masjid, in ibadat, and then going home straight and not going elsewhere, etc. This formed part of what we call the credentials of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'm repeating it. Kana rajulan mutawahida. He was a person who led a solitary life. Qallama yujalisun nas. Rarely mixed unnecessarily with people. Innama huwa salah. You would always find him in salah. فَإِذَا فَرَغَ, and when he completed his salah in his ibadat, فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ تَسْبِيحٌ وَتَكْبِيرٌ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَهْلَ, he would be engaged in tasbih, in takbir, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَهْلَ, until he reached home. In other words, he would spend thereafter quality time with his family. فَمَرَّ بِنَا وَنَحْنُ عِنْدَ أَبِي الدَّرْدَى, one day he passed by us, this particular sahabi, Sahal bin Hanzaliyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whilst we were sitting in the company of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So when Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw him, qala lahu Abu Darda, kalimatan tanfa'una wala tadurruk. Abu Darda said to him, I have a request from you. Obviously, he was a person that was not prone to sit down and chit-chat. He was going to go away. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu sees him, and in the company of Abu Darda, other sahaba and other companions and some tabi'een. When Abu Darda sees this person, Sahal bin Hanzaliyah, he puts a request to him. He says, tell us something. Kalimatan, tell us something. Tanfa'una wala tadurruk. That will benefit us and will not harm you. In other words, we are requesting you with great humility to take out some time. Take out some time, so in other words, will not harm you.